All right. Thank you, kids, for that good song. I appreciate that. Take your Bible tonight, please, and go with me to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 18. The book of Proverbs and chapter number 18. I feel a sermon coming on. Amen. Whoo. God's good. Proverbs chapter 18. I've had this thought on my mind for a while, and I wanted to preach and teach tonight, really, on a subject that I think is important for every Christian to know, and that is how a godly Christian should date. And we're going to talk about the subject of dating tonight. Amen? Now, you'd be surprised because, you know, the Bible does not talk about actual dating in the Bible. Usually in the Old Testament, the parents of a young lady would get together with the parents of a young man and stick them two together. You think we should go back to that? My kids would kill me if we went back to that, right? But you know, the principles, there are principles in Scripture that can help us, help a young person especially, in some principles that can guide them through the dating life. And I think they're very important because, you know, I've known many Christians that have dated and married the wrong person. And it affects their life, their kids' life, and so many things down the road. And I believe this is a principle that if God's people, especially young people, can get a hold of these truths and these principles, put them in their life, I believe they're going to have happier homes, happier marriages, and more blessed lives. And so we're going to preach on that subject tonight, how a Christian should date. Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse number 22. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. Proverbs 18, verse 22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing."
Amen.
Amen. "And obtaineth favor of the Lord." That's a wonderful thing. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Now, it doesn't mean, ladies, that you're a thing. Amen. It means that he's found something good. Amen? When he finds a wife. And notice the connection, obtaineth favor of the Lord. We're going to look at the subject tonight and give some principles. Let's pray tonight. God, I ask your blessings and your help tonight. And Lord, as we just try to be practical and as we just try to be helpful and give scriptural principles tonight, I ask God that you would guide us and direct us. And Lord, I pray that you would ultimately keep young people from tragedy and heartache in their homes and in their lives. And Lord, that you'd give them wisdom and God's direction on the right kind of mate to choose. And Father, we know thy word will never fail us. We know it'll never forsake us. And so, Lord, I pray tonight you bless and use this message tonight in each person's life for your glory and honor, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I was looking at this verse, and I've known this verse, and I've heard it preached on many times, but I like to look at the words of it and look up what each word in it means. And as I was looking up verse 22, I saw the word findeth, whoso findeth a wife. And I looked that word findeth up. And it does not mean like one would go and just pick one out. It doesn't mean that. The word findeth actually in the Hebrew means to properly acquire. To properly acquire. Now think of that. It says, whoso properly acquireth a wife findeth a good thing. And then notice how the Lord's blessings are on that. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. You know, marriage is given by God. God created the institute of marriage. Marriage is not something some man thought up, because everything man thinks up usually goes to pot. But marriage is God's idea all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden, when God looked down and he saw that Adam was all alone. And God did not want man to be alone. And so he said, I'm going to make an helpmeet for him. I'm going to take a rib out of Adam, and I'm going to make a woman out of it. You say, where did the word woman come along? Well, when God brought Eve to Adam, he looked at Eve and he said, whoa, man. That was a joke. I'm not doing so well already. I'm just trying. Good marriages and good homes start with good dating practices. You say, is there any other way to do this thing? Well, we could have the husband, the parents of one get together with the parents of one and stick them together. That'd be so much easier. Amen? And, I even told my sons-in-law, I said, we could save the whole wedding expense if I just leave $500 on the counter and you come get her in the middle of the night. I could save that whole lot of expense. To my girls, it's a whole different matter. But to the boys, yeah, amen. So I'm saying this, every marriage, now I'm being jovial with you a bit, but I want to tell you something. Marriage is a very serious, important matter. Because marriage is a commitment that two people, believing God, put them together, and those two commit to each other till death. Till death do us part. You say, what if he doesn't live up to all my expectations? I got news for you, he won't. Well, what if she doesn't live up to all my expectations? Nobody will live up to everybody's expectations. Nobody's going to be perfect. But let me tell you something. The Bible says, and when you make a vow, it's a serious thing, that you say, till death do us part. We've got this idea that marriages today can just be thrown away and if it doesn't work out, we'll just find another person. Let me tell you something. If you enter marriage with that idea, it probably won't work out. Because marriage has its complications and difficulties. But I want to tell you something. If you have some of the right dating practices in your life, it can help you find the right mate. It can help you do what God would have you to do in life. And I can say this. Marriage can be one of the most blessed things that you ever have in life. It can be a touch of heaven. A good marriage can be a touch of heaven in your life. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage, but every person, every home, every family ought to have a little touch of heaven in that home and in that marriage. And I want to give you some principles tonight, and I hope if you're taking notes, you'll write these down and you'll think of these things, and I'm going to shotgun a few of them out there, but I hope you'll grab a hold of some of these principles and use them in your life. Number one, every date is a potential mate. Every date is a potential mate. Amen? I wouldn't date anybody that I wouldn't be a potential person to marry. Amen? Because dating's ultimate goal is marriage. Right? How many of you have known somebody that's dated for 60 years? I'm sure there's a few out there. But someday, they usually end up living together, shacking up together. And that's not God's plan. That's not God's way. By the way, you young people, don't you ever get this idea in your head that, well, we got to shack up together for a little while to see if it works out. I'll tell you something. You are ruining the right principles and practices for your life. You're hurting yourself. Amen. God did not make you to do that. In fact, God said, we'll get into some other things, but every date is a potential mate. Number two, date somebody who you know is saved and has a good testimony that they're saved. Amen? Date somebody to save. One of the first things you ought to nail down if you ever date anybody, are you saved? Tell me about your salvation. Tell me when you trusted Christ. And get it nailed down. You know why? Because if an unsaved person marries a saved person, you have what's called an unequal yoke. Unequal yoke. And can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos chapter 3, verse 3. You got to be saved. Don't marry anybody that's lost. Well, it'll work out. It'll work out one of these days. He'll change. He'll change. You just wait and see. Usually what happens is the other person ends up changing like the other one that's unsaved. That's usually what happens. So date only somebody that you know is saved. Number three, dating is communication. You know, that's really what dating is. It's communication. It's getting to know that person. It's getting to know, what do they like? What don't they like? Get to know them communicate. That's what dating, the fleshly part of it should not be a part of dating. Let me say that again. The fleshly part of it is for marriage. That is not for dating. Amen. Ladies, listen, if a fellow tries to go fleshly on you and you're dating, take off your shoe and bonk him over the head with it. That's the only good purpose I know for a high heel shoe. Amen. Now, listen. The flesh should not be part of a dating life. Dating is communication. It's getting to know that person as a potential person in life. And listen, if you keep it communicating, you're going to learn about that person. You're going to learn what they're really like. And from that communication, you begin to learn and to find out. And you begin to see if there's red flags. Red flags begin to come up. How does that happen? Through communication. Through communication. And you begin to see and get to know that person. It's communication. Number four, date only somebody of like faith and practice. I'll tell you something. I've seen Christians, they're saved, but they're a different kind of denomination. They're charismatic, or they're a Mormon, and I doubt many of them are saved. I know a lady dated a Jehovah's Witness. Well, they believe the Bible. What tree did you fall off of? Listen, I'm trying to save you a lot of heartache in marriage. Date only somebody of like faith and practice. Now, I've had this all my life. You know, a young person comes to church, and I mean, we're not a big church, and the dating pool isn't exactly huge. Amen. I grew up in a small church, and I knew what it was like, and there were two girls. There were two girls to date. One was nutty as a loon. And the other one, her eye went straight, and the other eye went this direction. And I said, boy, what about my choice? I don't know about my choice. Now, I'm not being critical. I guess I am, but I mean that really wasn't something I was interested in, okay? I have to be honest with you, amen? I understand that, and that is why, really, Bible college is a good thing for a young person to go to. A Bible college of like faith and practice. Amen? And even Bible college, if you don't follow the right principles, don't just go and assume that everybody there is going to be heading in the same right direction that you are. You don't just assume that. Get to know that person, communicate. And so Date only somebody who's of like faith and practice. Number five, never date alone. Never date alone. You say, well, preacher, I trust my flesh. You're crazy. You don't put no confidence in the flesh, the Bible says. Amen? My wife and I dated for 3 years, and we never had a single date except one time. We had to drive the car home from the church to our home when we were in Colorado. You remember that? Oh, she says two times. Well, she's probably right. Okay. We won't talk about the other time. Okay. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. Okay. All right. So back to the sermon. Here we go. So, but hey, and I'll never forget, we had to drive my dad's car, and it was just one of those situations, and I sat there like this. And she sat on the other side like this. Amen. We didn't touch. The first time we touched was at our wedding rehearsal when we held hands. And the preacher told me, he said, son, don't shake her hand. Hold her hand. I said, sure. That sounds good to me. That was the first time we ever held hands. And we dated 3 years. You say, well, I don't think I can do that. Well, you better try. You better try. You say, why? Because listen, every marriage needs to get off on the right dating practices. And oftentimes, I've seen this happen, oftentimes, when a person breaks the rules in dating, they break the rules in marriage. And so I'm saying to you tonight, be careful. Be careful about this. Date somebody. Never date alone. Oh, well, I trust me. Well, maybe the first time you'll be okay. Second time you do. After the third time, you start letting your guard down. And this old flesh sometimes wants to take over. And God's people have to be wiser than that. You know, we shouldn't be the type of Christian that put ourselves in situations that could cause our flesh to rise up. Amen? So I'm simply saying, never date alone. Number six, I believe. Never date someone who's not faithful to attend church. You say, why? Because, listen, there needs to be a spiritual life in both of the people that get married. A spiritual life. Well, after we get married, preacher, he'll start coming to church with me. No, he won't. You know what will happen? He'll pull you out of church. That's usually what happens. So I'm saying, don't date somebody who's not faithful to church. And, you know, sometimes a young lady will get this idea in her head that if I don't date Oscar, he's the only one that's come along. And if I don't marry him, then I'll never get married. I'll be an old maid. I'll have gray hair and be sitting in a rocking chair all my life. Let me tell you something. That is the devil's ploy to get you to make decisions that you shouldn't make in your dating relationship. Amen. Hey, listen, you're not junk. You're not junk. Don't treat yourself like you are junk or you are desperate. What you're looking for is the one that God has for you. Amen. That's what you're looking for. And if Oscar isn't it, and if he's not faithful to church, I can tell you he's not it. You say, preacher, you're getting kind of bold. No, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you and say, listen, do not marry somebody who is not. Life is a long time to be married to somebody who's not interested in spiritual things. And I've seen it happen. And it's heartbreaking, but it leads to destruction. It leads to kids whose lives are totally insecure. And usually the kids go worldly. Usually the kids go worldly because they don't see any peace and joy in that home. You know, a home ought to be a place of joy and peace and happiness. It brings a security to a child, and when a child is secure, that's what they want to grow up to have in their life. And so I'm saying tonight, don't date somebody who's not faithful to church. Next, always be willing to look at the warning signs of dating. You say, what are some of the warning signs? Let me give you some of them. Somebody who's got a bad temper. Hey, don't marry somebody that's got a bad temper. Let me say that again. Don't marry somebody who's got a bad temper. They need to allow God to work in them to change that before they are ready for marriage. Because marriage can many times evoke a temper and an anger. And if you've been married, you understand what I'm talking about. Amen? Marriage is not always an easy thing. And listen, that's why you date and communicate, so that you can find out what kind of person that is that you're dating. You say, these people date 3 weeks and live in a dreamland and rush off to Las Vegas and get married. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't even work out. Especially with this mentality today that you can just throw away a marriage whenever you want to. Let me tell you something. If you get married with that idea, that is not pleasing to God. So, are you still with me? Never date somebody who's not faithful to church. So watch this. Watch out for somebody who's worldly, somebody who's fleshly, somebody who's critical, somebody who has a bad temper, and somebody who has a bad attitude and a bad spirit. Hey, stay away from people like that when it comes to marriage. You say, preacher, I have faith that it'll work out. Well, let me tell you something. If you go against biblical principles, your chances of it working out are very bad. Very bad. So, be careful of that. Next, young people should date only with godly parents' approval. And if there isn't a godly parent, then you should go to your pastor and seek his advice. Godly parents' approval. You say, that's old-fashioned. I don't care what it is. It's a good practice. Amen. If you have a godly parent, and when you date, you should give your godly parent veto power in the one that you date. You say, they're going to control my life. No, they might save you from some heartache. They might save you from some trouble, some difficulty in life. And by the way, don't take advice from the lady down at work who's been married 4 times. Go to somebody who's been married 40 years, 50 years. Go to somebody who celebrates their golden wedding anniversary and ask them for advice on marriage. They'll give you good advice. Amen. So I'm saying tonight, date only with godly parents' approval. And young person, if you cannot give your parents veto power in the one that you date, let me tell you something. Your parents, there's nobody that loves you and cares about you greater than godly parents. They want your life to be good and blessed. Amen. You remember Samson in the scriptures. He went down to Timnath, found Delilah. He didn't talk to his parents about it. He told his parents to go get her for me. And they said, hey, isn't there somebody of the daughters of the children of Israel that you should date? He didn't listen. And he went and got, look how that turned out. Look how that turned out. I'm simply saying you're wise. You are wise if you ask and talk to your parents, give them veto power in the one you date. Oh, Pastor, you're hopelessly old-fashioned. I know, and I don't plan to change anytime soon. Amen. These principles are good. They'll work. God's word. Next, date slowly. Date slowly. Get to know that person in their bad times. Amen? Date slowly. Well, we haven't got much time. Let's hurry and get married. Let's run off to Las Vegas and get married. Crazy. Crazy. You're hinging your whole life on somebody you don't even know. And you'd be wise to learn. Go slow. Go slow. The old-fashioned daters, you know what they used to do? When a young man would go into to talk to the potential one that he's dating, he would leave his gloves in the parlor. And the reason for that is so he could come back early in the morning, retrieve his gloves, and see the condition of the person that he's potentially dating. I don't know if that'll work, amen? But that's what they used to do. Because they were concerned about the character of the person that they were dating. And by the way, that should be us. We have to give the mate that God gives us a godly character also. Amen. We have to give them that. That is an important part of it. You say, well, they're a good godly Christian, but I ain't much. Well, why are you getting married to somebody like that? Why would you try to bring somebody like that down? Listen, I'm just simply saying there's some principles in life we ought to follow. Date slowly. Next point. Date someone who has a walk with God. Date somebody who has a walk with God. Date somebody who's in their Bible, who reads their Bible, who is interested in spiritual things. Date somebody like that. Somebody's got a walk with God. Now, that doesn't mean they walk around, holy, holy, holy. O thou God, highest of all who dwelleth between the cherubims and the seraphim. That's not what it means. It means somebody who has a spiritual walk with God, who desires to walk with God. Date somebody like that. If they don't have a walk with God, be careful. Be careful. Next. Date somebody who has the same calling as you. Date somebody who has the same calling as you. If God calls a young lady to be a missionary, she shouldn't date somebody who's not. Because she's to follow her husband in life. And if her husband doesn't have the calling to go to the mission field, guess what happens? Her call falls by the wayside. And really, there's nothing really more valuable in life than doing the will of God. Now, God doesn't call everybody, okay? God does not call everybody. But if you are called, date somebody who will go with you in that call. Amen? Date someone who has the same calling. Next point, immature people should not date. Immature people should not date. You know why? Grow up. Then you can date. Usually, you say, now that sounds mean. No, listen. You don't want to date somebody who's a baby, a child. Selfish. Self-centered. I want what I want. Go home to mama and grow up a little while. Amen. Listen. Sometimes a parent knows their child best, and when that child is just not mature, they shouldn't date. They got to grow up a little bit. Amen. You say, preacher, you're hurting my dating life. No, I'm trying to help a good foundation, because marriages are built on foundations. Foundations of principles of right and wrong. But immature people should not date. They're too selfish. And marriage isn't 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. It's giving yourself to that one. Next. Don't date someone who won't work. Amen. Don't date somebody who won't work. Amen. Young ladies, listen, if there's a young fella that you're interested in dating, he won't work, guess who's going to go to work? You are. And those kids won't have a mother at home to raise them and help them, grow them up. Don't marry somebody who's not going to work. Amen. Next, don't expect perfection in little things. You wouldn't believe how many marriages have trouble because one rolls the toothpaste from the bottom and the other rolls the toothpaste from the top. You wouldn't believe it. Well, I think we need Charmin tissue in our house. Well, I think we need Scott tissue in our house. Can I give you two words that will help you? Who cares? Right? Don't allow little things to hurt your marriage. Don't allow little things to come between you. Amen? Little things, preferences, little choices. I like this thing better than that thing. You know, those things really don't matter. Amen? My wife, she loves Cracker Barrel. I mean, I should have bought stock in Cracker Barrel years ago. But she loves Cracker Barrel. When it's time to go eat, that's where we go. Amen? And every once in a while, I like to go somewhere else. But she likes Cracker Barrel. She could go there all the time. Hey, that's not a big deal. When somebody, and by the way, you ought to love your mate enough to want to give them sometimes their preferences and be a blessing to them. And that's what marriage is. So don't expect perfect little things. Oh, when you date, I know some people that when they date, they had this whole list of things. They have to be able to play the piano like Beethoven. They have to be able to, their hair has to be perfect. In the middle of the night, their shoes have to be set beside their dresser in a orderly fashion. What planet did you come from? Right? And you know, you'd be surprised how many marriages have difficulty over the little things. And usually the little things they make big, and the big things they make little. And you know what I say? A foundation of dating is about making sure the big things are right and the big things are in place. And you'll have a lot better home. You'll have a lot better marriage when you do. And so don't expect perfection. Don't expect perfection. Next, never touch romantically before you get married. I didn't get any amens on that one. Amen, Brother Larson. That's a good point. You preached that one. Thank you, brother. I will. Amen. Let me say that again, though. Never touch romantically before you get married. Amen. Let me show you what Scripture says on that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Are you still with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And look at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Corinth here. He says here, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with shaking a lady's hand. That's good. That's fine. All right. But just don't let that handshake be, yeah. The romantic touch is reserved for marriage. Amen. And sometimes a young person, you know, that's the first thing they go to in a dating relationship. And I want to tell you something. It's a bad foundation. It's a bad foundation. Bad foundation. Romantic touch is part of marriage. It's part of the home. It's part of the family. It's not part of the dating life. You have not made that permanent commitment to that person to be faithful to them and committed to them the rest of their life. So you haven't earned the right for the romantic touches. Amen. Amen. And by the way, if you never have the romantic touches before, you can't take the next step, which is immorality and premarital sex. Now, I'm just putting the, I'm just laying it out there how it is. But if you never, listen, if you never in your dating relationship, if you're not romantically touching, what's the next step to go to after romantic touch? It's an obvious next step. And so if you, God teaches us to draw the line right there at the touch. Because it's the touch that can often stir the passion and stir the flesh in an immoral way before a person gets married. And that is not what God wants. Because he goes on, he talks in the next verse here. He says, verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. It means to love her, to treat her right. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. So I'm simply saying that God's teaching us to not have that romantic touch before marriage. Listen, I know what it's, I grew up, it may be hard to, for this, for some of you to believe this. But I was a teenager once too. Can you imagine? I was skinny. I had a 29-inch waist when I went to Bible college. I can't get that around my leg now. 29-inch waist. I was skinny. And they said I was so skinny my head looked big. And my ears stuck out like a car driving down the road with the doors open. Amen. I remember those days and there would be at times, and I'll be honest with you, there'd be a time if you're a boy and in an innocent situation you brush by a girl, there's that feeling. Oh, I like that. Now I know none of you've ever had anything like that happen to you before. But I've experienced that feeling. And if that feeling grows and increases, it becomes fleshly. So God teaches us a principle here. And if we'll follow it, it will be good for us. It's a foundational principle. Just don't touch romantically before you get married. Amen. Some people break those rules that God sets up. And the sad part is when we break God's rules before marriage, it's a lot easier to break them after marriage. And so as God's people, we need to be wise. We need to yield to God in these things. Why? Because God's got our best interest in mind. God is always on our side. He wants the best for us, and he knows us. And so if we say, God, I'm going to follow your word, God will bless it. God blesses our life. And so, never touch romantically. Next, be willing to break off a dating relationship if things are not right. You know what I find sometimes is a young lady feels stuck with somebody when she's dating, and I'm stuck with that person. We started dating and something's not right, but I feel stuck. Let me tell you something, have courage. Have courage, because you're talking about the rest of your life. Divorce is not an option for God's people. Divorce is not. You stick with it and make it work. And you don't say, but if the foundations are right, break it off before you get married. Amen. Amen. And I believe a young person who wants to do God's will, who wants to please God, who wants to do right, I believe the Holy Spirit will give them those warning signs. The Holy Spirit will let them know, hey, there's just not something right here. It's a good thing to break that relationship off before it goes any further. Amen. Now, that's not always an easy thing to do, but I tell you what, it's about the rest of your life. Be willing to do that. Marriage is a long time. Marriage is for life, according to God's word. When you say, I do, you say, I don't to all others. And you say, I do only to that one that God has for me. Amen. Dating, following the principles of God. You know, Christian, I've known many Christians who've followed the right rules in dating. And I'll tell you what, more often than not, their life is blessed. And I've known some Christians who didn't have the right foundation in dating. And they got married, and man, it didn't take long before difficulty came. But if they were willing to be yielded to God and obey God, that marriage can be put together and healed. That marriage can be good still. Amen. And you say, maybe we didn't have the right foundation when we got married. Maybe we just didn't know, and maybe we did know, but we didn't do it. But regardless of the case, if your two people are yielded to God and love God and love each other, that home and that marriage can be blessed by God, and that marriage can be good. Amen. But young people, it's so much easier to do it the right way. It's so much easier and so much better to have a chance that your marriage works out well when you date in the right way and in the right relationship. And you know, it's something that every young person especially needs to have in their heart and in their desire to want. You know, when my wife and I, we didn't touch for 3 years. Our first kiss was at that marriage altar. And believe me, I wanted to kiss her every day. But hey, you know what? I can look back now and tell my kids, we did it right. You better do it right. Amen. Amen. We did it the way we should, and we weren't perfect. But we did what we should do, and you ought to do it. And I want to tell you something. It's possible to date right, because every date is a potential mate. And if you will wisely grab a hold of these principles in your life, you'll find your dating life is going to be so much better. And your marriages and your homes will be so much better in the dating relationship. So let me ask you tonight, what are the principles in your life that you use for dating? How are you going to date in your life? What lines will you draw, and what goals do you have for the right kind of Christian life that will be impacted by your dating relationship and how you date in life? Now, you know what? Most of us are married already, so dating's out of the question, right? You said, I do. That's the one you've got for life. And I want to tell you something. Make sure you feed that home. Make sure you feed that marriage with love, with godliness, with faithfulness. Say, I don't. To all the others. Be dead to all that other junk that's out there. Just ignore it. And live your life for the one that God gave you. You'll be blessed. You'll be happy. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's